Hello, listeners. Welcome to Radio Carrum. Welcome to the Carrum Cricket Club radio show. My name's Peter Ridgway. I'm very fortunate to be the senior club coach at our wonderful cricket club. Tonight I'm joined by Corey Foster, first 11 player and vice president. How are you, Corey?
Very good. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me again.
Big week in Sydney, I hear, for you.
Yeah. I've been travelling about a bit, so it's just up there. Yeah, with a bit of work, and now back this afternoon. Time for cricket on the weekend. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and advice to you and all of our listeners, when you park in the long-term car park, you take a photo of where your car's parked.
Yes.
And the H3 or whatever it is.
Yep.
B6.
Yep.
And then you know where to go when you get back.
That's correct. It is not a good time looking for your car park when you've got off the plane at 9 o'clock at night and you can't quite remember exactly what bay you'd parked in. So 90 minutes later, found the car, got home at about midnight. Do not recommend it.
I reckon you should have kept that excuse up your sleeve, because I've heard every excuse under the sun for people being late to cricket and cricket training.
Yeah.
But not that one.
That's
so.
A newie. Okay.
You should have hung on to that one.
Yeah.
Someone moved my car.
Yeah, that's it. I was hoping it was stolen at one stage. It was taking that long to find.
Actually,
less embarrassing.
Actually, speaking of excuses, I have heard all the excuses under the sun, but I did hear a new one. Last weekend, Darren Kane, recent advent to the club, saw me on Saturday and said, "Sorry, Pete, I missed Thursday night training because I forgot."
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty honest.
Forgot what day it was.
I think we've all done that at some stage. You would never say,
yeah,
would you?
Forget that it's on. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That is quite strange.
We've got Steve Watling, social media manager, player, Carrum Cricket Club. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Pete.
Good
to be here again. Sorry.
It is a radio show. Hopefully we
forget about that.
Hopefully we master the art of talking during the show.
Give us something.
And one Dylan out and another Dylan in. So replacing Dylan Ridgway, we have Dylan Steed. And Dylan, what are you, secretary?
I am, yes.
Of our cricket club and first 11 player, wicketkeeper extraordinaire. Welcome, Dil.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's been a while since you've been on the radio, Dil.
I know. Maybe about a year. Was I on last?
We didn't do many shows last year.
We only did one, didn't we? Yeah.
You did a bit of non-cricket radio, haven't you? You got a bit of experience behind the mic?
A little bit.
Excellent.
You used to have your own show. What was that called? One to one?
One on one, the Bomb Beach Sharks Football Netball Club's show, which I think is still the number one in terms of listeners, overall listeners. Yeah, no, see, Marcus is nodding his head. Yes, it is.
No, there's a few other shows that are really pressing now.
Oh,
yes, they are. We'll talk about that in a minute. And, well, it's good that you're here, Dylan, because a couple of weeks ago, Marcus actually announced that Dylan Ridgway was Carrum Radio royalty.
Oh,
wow.
So cool. I did like that term, and you wouldn't be far behind him, Dylan Steed, so great to have you
here. Nice.
Banter aplenty. We hit 100 listeners last show, so we're very proud of that. We're going for 100. We're going to jump straight to 150 this podcast.
Where's the artificial cheering?
Yeah. I've got a sound effects bar, so I just created myself. But
it is a cricket show, so we better start
talking about cricket.
Yeah. Cricket show. All you cricket listeners out there. Corey,
How's
the first 11 been tracking?
It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a chat about the first 11. We will go to the game that finished last round, which was round three.
Three, yep.
Yeah, it was round three. So we were playing against Bellon Park down there. You may remember we batted first the first week. We made around about 150-odd. We had about 10 overs at them and bat them 2 for 16. So we were in a sort of 50-50 position. We really need to get off to a good start the second week. So we arrived there the second week.
Campbellack 70-odd.
Campbellack did get 70-odd. Yeah, he batted very well. Chooksey got in there with about 25 as well down the order, which was a great effort.
Yep, 50 partnership or close, I think, yep.
Very close.
Sorry, 52. I've got it right in front of me.
Well done, lads. No, they did well. Then we rocked up the next week. We need to get some early wickets. Conditions were pretty tough. A big howling breeze. They had their captain in and another batsman who'd opened the week before. And they dug in, you know, through no fault of our own. We were bowling well, but we just weren't getting any chances for wickets. You know, any ball that would be nicked, it'd be nicked really thick.
Mm.
Or anything that would go in the air would go well over the field. So we didn't really have an opportunity to get a wicket early on, and it made life really tough. So we kept plugging away. However, you know, everyone was getting a shot with the ball to try and get a breakthrough. We got our first breakthrough once they'd, I think, already hit 100. I'll just double check that in a moment, but let's just say it was when they hit 100. And then we sort of got a bit of a run on. We got a few more wickets and kept ticking them through, but it was all a little bit too late. Their captain ended up making about 57. He batted quite well. The other opener batted a huge amount of time for 37 runs. And we just couldn't take wickets quickly enough. Not taking them all at the start of the day made it tough. And they ended up passing us about six down, I think. Once again, in the bowling, Campbell Ack did a good job. Bowled really good leg spin for most of the day. And, yep,
bowled the gun out with an absolute jaffer
absolute
of a ball.
Absolute jaffer of a ball. The guy actually stood there, took a look around and thought, how's that happened? But bowled a great length.
I actually asked Campbell how that happened. I said, looking from where I was standing, it looked like it's gone through the gate, a ripping leg spinner, and Campbell just goes, nah, straight one.
You just missed it.
just missed it.
I did hear
one.
That, actually, and you said, Campbell, as a spinner, you never say that, mate.
No, you
just say it did
put
everything.
Put a mayo on it. Yeah,
exactly. So, no, he ended up with 2 for 36 off his 12 overs, so, yeah, that's really good, going at 3 and over. But as a leg spinner, a couple of maidens, a couple of wickets, you know, you'd be happy with that. Jake D'Archery bowled really, really well, 25 overs. He went for 50, so 2 and over, 11 maidens, 4 wickets. Really good effort by Jake.
Bowling well, the skip.
He is bowling well, even though he seems to be using a lot of pre-warm-up and all these sorts of little exercises he does.
He's spending a lot of time on body recovery.
He is, Pud. No, he's doing well. I think his missus is involved in physio or something, isn't she?
Well, I'm just wondering about that. When he gets to about 50 years old, what cricketer will he resemble the most at our club with the body that he's got?
Probably the Tin Man.
Probably the Tin Man. Son of Tin Man.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
You can use that
Tin Man
Junior. Like.
Tin Man Junior. Rocker also got 1 wicket, and Chooksy got in there late with a couple of wickets as well. He actually started the game keeping. That tee break tore the pads off, gave him over to Mitchy Allen, who then came out to keep with his mobile phone in his pocket.
Yes.
Don't worry, we
well
find
done,
him.
Mitch.
Yes.
We're still waiting for Mitch to pay his fine.
Oh.
So if you do see Mitch on the street, make sure you bail him up.
On the street.
Yeah.
Turn him up.
The fines team have put out an order for his arrest.
There's a bounty on him.
Turn him upside down and shake him so all the gold coins fall out.
Get $5 off him. So yeah, he walked out with that. But no, he ended up doing a really good job keeping, actually. And Chooksy did a good job bowling. So unfortunately, they passed a 6 down. They made 180. So if we had batted the 80 overs the week before, ended up losing by 24 runs. Mm-hmm. That extra 10 overs would have been the difference. And then, we came in for a little bit of a hit and giggle in the second innings. I think Rory Rocker Brown went in to open the batting, hit about 3 or 4 cut shots for 4. He made 19, which is a good effort. And Chooksy made 9 runs, which was the magic number that week. So the fines team got him as well. So
good luck, Chooksy.
That's that week.
And then we're halfway through our next game.
We are. So the ones travelled again this week. We went down to Tuggeranong, which is probably our longest travel for the year down the peninsula. We lost the toss. They were put into bat. We had the return of Karam Young Gun, Lockie Dobson, who opened the bowling for us.
Welcome
good to have
back.
Lockie back. And Boozer Graves opened with him at the other end. They started off reasonably well. We just, once again, couldn't seem to get one to go to hand. And then Boozer happened to break down after a ball got hit back at him. He tried to put his foot out to stop it and twinged his groin, tried to take off the next delivery and didn't happen. So that was the end of Daniel Graves. Jake D'Archery then came on from his end and I think just about bowled the rest of the day down there. Everyone else had to pick up a bit more slack and bowl a few more overs. It did make it hard. We had less bowling rotations, I guess you'd call it in footy speak. We got their first wicket when they were on 104. That was through... That was through me.
Yes.
Yeah,
no, that was through me. You.
Sorry about that. Yeah. We got 1 wicket at 104, another one 132 and 206, 224... 233, 296 and 307 was the last wicket with a run out. The bloke who threw that run out didn't actually get it credited towards him, but that's okay.
Was that you as well?
That might have been me.
Oh, so you're probably the pick of the show. You had took three for and got a run out.
Yeah.
Direct hit?
No, I can't take all the credit, to be honest. I have to give Cambo and Lockie some credit for taking the catches off my bowling.
Oh, yeah.
And Josh Dent managed to take one off my bowling as well. So
Josh took a catch.
It was a caught behind, we think. Would you agree? Was it caught behind? The one that went up in the air for about 15 metres and then landed just behind
him. It was a tough one.
Yeah.
So,
no,
so,
it did.
So he was still keeping at that stage.
He was keeping, yeah. And the guy went to play it and it sort of got cramped him up a bit and it ended up top edging, going straight up in the air. Josh stood behind the stumps and then just took it in the glove. So
good stuff, Josh.
It wasn't a regular caught behind with a snick, but no, he took a caught behind nonetheless. So. Yeah, look, the other bowlers, Brady Moulton bowled pretty well, 1 for 53 off his 14. Jake D'Archery, once again, the form bowler of the club, 28.5 overs, 2 for 81, 7 maidens. Daniel Graves only bowled the 6.1 overs for 28, and Lockie was really unlucky not to get wickets. He bowled 17 overs for 67. He was really good in the field, though. He sort of took a good catch off my bowling and chopped off a lot of stuff that could have gone through for four. So it was good to have Lockie back out there. Everyone sort of fielded reasonably well, but we just couldn't get consistent wickets again. And their batsmen were pretty good. The guy, I think it's Whelan. I'm not sure of his first name. It might be Matt Whelan, I think. He batted almost a flawless innings. I think we had one chance to get him when he was on about 80-odd, but apart from that, he was... you know, really good touch, didn't play anything risky, just pushed around twos and threes and hit the odd boundary, made 128 not out. So that, you know, to not get him out was pretty costly. Yeah. But, you know, the ground's really quick. It's a big ground, but it's quick, so there's a chance for us to bat time and try and put up a big score as well.
Yeah, and we've got a deep batting lineup, so we think we can chase those runs. Thanks, Corey. Dylan, we've been playing the midweek 2020 comp.
Yep.
We've had two games in the Jack Peacock, I think, since our last show. So do you want to just give us a brief rundown on those two games?
So the second one we played, which would have been a couple of weeks ago here at Roy Dawe Reserve, we went up against Carrum Downs. We won the toss. We batted. Hayden got a good one early. Mitch Allen opened up with him as well. Made a few. Was out for 14. Then we had Jake D'Archery and myself come to the wicket. I think that would have been maybe the third or fourth over. We batted through and we ended up with 2 for 168 off 20, which fantastic. Out here is probably a decent score.
Very decent score.
And then Carrum Downs went in and Daniel Graves, 3 overs, 1 for 17. He bowled really well. Corey Foster, the 2020 specialist, 4 overs, 2 for 14. He was the best bowler.
No Corey, no Carrum, apparently.
Not bad.
That's right. Ryan Dyer also bowled well.
Did bowl well.
Did, yes.
So they finished 6 for 135, so that was a good win.
Outstanding win.
Yesterday we played against... who did we play against?
Sea for Tigers.
I can't even remember. It was yesterday. they batted first. We started off pretty slowly with our... I think our first three overs all went for maybe around 10...
The first one
went for...
for a fair bit.
Yeah.
They're in the 40s after three overs.
Yeah. But we wound that back to 120 by the 20th, and that was in part due to Jack D'Archery with his off-spin, also Ryan Dyer as well. Brett Moulton, all the spinners bowled well. Jake got a triple wicket maiden, I believe,
in
2020.
Nice. That's awesome.
And five wickets.
Yeah, he ends up with five.
Jakey.
So 120 out there was definitely chaseable, especially with the lineup that we had. Trying to think who opened up. Hayden, did he?
No. The Moulton boys?
The Moultons.
Yep.
No, Lockie Dobson.
Oh, okay. Lockie and Brett.
Lockie and Brett, yeah.
That's right.
Hayden was three. So Lockie started off really well. He just goes out there, tees off. If he sees it, it's probably going to go over the fence. I think he got maybe 30-odd.
36 he got.
Yep. Oh, Dobbs, beautiful.
Brett also got a couple before just picking out the fielder. Hayden came in. He stayed in for a little bit.
They put on 50.
They did.
Lockie and Hayden.
Nice.
Jake came in after that. He didn't last very long. I followed him. And you guys might have to help me out here.
Well, it was about then we just kind of got bogged down.
Yeah.
We had Chooksy and Zach bat for a while, but we just sort of had trouble hitting the ball off the square. And
we finished about 10 runs short.
Yeah, 15 runs short.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they got back into the game. Like I reckon we won probably nearly 30 overs of the game, but we got bogged down in the last 10. And they bowled full and we had to hit them straight and we couldn't. And
yeah.
But, you know, full credit to them. They outplayed us in the last bit.
They bowled to the field.
Yeah.
I think that's what probably won in the game. I do apologise that I couldn't be more accurate with my scoring. The score isn't online at this stage.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Well, forgive you.
Thank you.
Right. Forgive, that's nice of you. Forgive yourself.
All right, just improve next week, mate. Thanks for that.
Okay, Steve, second 11.
Okay, second 11. So round three, a couple of weeks ago, we played Ballon Park out here. So we bowled really, really well in the first innings, had them all out for 132, so which was really, really impressive. We were really happy with that, with the way we bowled. So pick of the bowlers, Sterlo. Sterlo bowled an amazing spell late on, 5 for 27 off 10 overs.
Mm-hmm.
Just pitching the ball up, swinging the ball both ways, putting it on the spot and letting them miss the ball.
Smart, it was smart really cricket smart of Sterlo. Bowling.
Really, really smart play. Zaino got 1 for 24, so we're seeing Zane come back to what we saw last year a little bit. He's starting to get some pace back. He's some confidence in his run-up.
I think confidence is the biggest thing for Zane.
It definitely is. And moving the ball around again. So that's really, really good to see. Who else? Harmy bowled pretty well early on. Got a bit tired there at the end. He's not one that... bowls too many long spells.
Yeah, he's missed a bit of cricket too.
He has. So he got 1 for 28, and myself, I got 2 for 22. So
well done, Steve.
Not too bad. So we were happy with that. We bowled them out in 48 overs and had another 30-odd to bat that night. And ended up the day at 2 for 58. So that was put us in a really, really good position with Sterlo and Jared Foster in overnight. So we're really happy with that coming into the second day. Second day was a little bit more of a struggle. We did try our best to lose it at times. I think we lost 4 for 0 or something.
Yeah, we need to get better at chasing totals. So, yep.
Which, yeah, not at all a good thing to do. But then we had Harmy and Harry come in at the end. Harmy went bang, 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 put a few over the fence, a few to the boundary, and got us over the line.
He's done that in a few games now, Harmy, the finisher.
So he didn't look comfortable early, missed a few, was lucky to stay in, but then when he got his eye in, definitely hits the ball a long, long way when he gets going. It's good to see. So we passed them 7 down, I think it was, and then finished off the game 9 down, all out with Harmy injured for 168. So that was a really, really good win.
It was a convincing win in the end.
Yeah, definitely. So that left us at 2 wins, I think, after round three. One win, one draw,
that's
and one loss.
Same as the ones.
Same as the ones, yep.
So we then played Tootgaruk at home again, which was nice, not having to go down to Tootgaruk, that long trip. And had an interesting day. We bowled pretty well in the first 40 overs. Didn't take any wickets. Had them 1 for 100-ish around... tea, so and we bowled a lot of overs before tea. We bowled 45 overs before tea, so
that's a good rate.
It was really good rate, kept them down to a nice low score at tea, which we were happy with, even though we didn't take too many wickets. But they kind of got away from us after that, so they got to 283 in that 80 overs, which is going to be a big chase this round. So and with 9 down, so we got close to bowling them out, which is not too bad, but we do need to get better at bowling late on. We kind of bowled a little bit all over the place, and that was most of us. So pick of the bowlers, Jason Bayliss, 3 for 45 from 13 overs. Zane, 2 for 44 off his 9. Bowled an absolute beauty of an in-swinger to get their opener out.
Nice.
Just landed right on his toe. It was, good piece of bowling there.
He's been working a fair bit on his swing bowling in the net, so that's good.
If he can continue doing that, he's going to take a lot of wickets this year. So.
Yeah.
Who else? And Ryan Dyer. Ryan was probably, to me, the pick of the bowlers. Bowled 20 overs almost straight, 3 for 73. He's bowled on the spot, restricted them.
Yeah.
Had a few go between first slip and keeper, a few in the air just out of reach. It's one of those days when you're in the field where you have them just going out of reach, just over the top.
Yep.
It was a little bit frustrating, but look, they batted really, really well. Their opener made 99, batted for 60-odd overs, just waited for the loose ball. what we all need to learn from and what we need to do this week.
I was there when he was dismissed. I've never seen a man so relaxed about making 99.
Really?
You know what the funny part about it is?
Didn't he have a leg bye?
That's what I was about to say. One of his teammates got him for a leg bye, which he absolutely smashed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that guy should come and umpire in the ones, because the guy we had, God.
He's the most relaxed person at all, 99. No
he worries. Actually was saying out there he didn't want to be there for the last probably 20 overs.
Okay.
He did not want to be
out. And we couldn't get him out.
No. Yeah.
Took us 20 overs to get a bloke out that didn't want to be out there.
Don't you hate making runs?
Oh, dear me.
Yeah, look, they batted really well. They worked it well. They kept their wickets in hand, and in the last 20 overs sort of teed off and had a hit at us. So one of their boys got 51 off about 30 balls as well. So that's the way to play. Showed us how to do it, and we've got to try and do that again this weekend.
They play their shots. Both those teams play their shots, and I think they're probably the clubhouse leaders in the league, Toot Garook. So if we can chase totals in first and seconds, that would be very pleasing. Third 11 last round had a pretty rough game. Actually, they were undermanned, and they were also playing Toot Garook, and they avoided an outright with Maury Williams and Matt Dobby, I think.
Nine down.
And they batted for about the last 11 overs and avoided the outright. So we claimed some moral victory by avoiding the outright. But cricket's a funny game, because in this round, we actually look like winning an outright, hopefully. So the third 11 had an excellent day on Saturday. How did it go? They bowled him out for 87. And the wicket takers were Daniel Dobby, the skipper, with 4 wickets, and Corey Jenkins with an amazing spell of 4 for 4 or 4, I think.
Whoa.
Bowling hand grenades, Corey. He's a bit of jack of all trades, Corey. One of our Mr. Fixits that plays various grades and does various jobs. So well done, Corey.
I think I heard he took a triple wicket maiden as well.
No.
In there at some stage.
In the air at the moment.
It's dime a dozen, the old triple wicket, mate.
I was going to say, that beats your 3 for 4 out here, Corey. Sorry. Do you remember when you took that against Somerville?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So,
doesn't beat my 6 for none off
unless
two.
Oh, what?
Yep.
When was that?
When I was about 19, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those days are gone, mate. Those days are gone.
What about 3 for none when the 3 are a hat trick and that was... And it was caught and bowled, bowled, caught and bowled. So I could have actually done it without anyone else on the ground.
That's a good effort.
Trumps.
That's a good effort.
Probably beat all of those. I coached a game where we had 5 for none in one over without a hat-trick in there. There was a run out.
That's stiff.
That's good. That's half a team.
To tie a game on the last over of the day.
That's pretty good.
What were we talking about?
No, we're just talking about ourselves.
just on that.
The heads are blowing up left, right and centre.
Believe it or not, I can't beat either of you.
Okay.
Any of you. I've only taken about 2 wickets.
In your life.
That's good.
No.
Unless you could remember them all.
Yeah.
Apparently Glenn McGrath can remember all of his test wickets.
How many of them?
Apparently he can tell you wicket 223 was such and such. He can recite them.
That's crazy. Crazy.
But you could do that.
Oh, of course. Wicket one.
So the third 11. So they were all out for 82-ish. And we're batting and we're about 5 down. We've passed them. Maybe 130. But the highlight batsman is Darren Kane. He's 77 not out. So, you know, we don't want to give away too many tactics publicly, but we'll get a few more runs and then have a real crack at an outright. And outrights are hard to get. Now,
very
quickly
difficult.
Around the table, Corey, ever been in one?
Yep.
Winning one?
Yes.
First 11?
Not at this club.
Right, okay.
The first 11 at another club.
Been a losing one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, good.
I haven't. I've lost it in an attempt for one and almost been reported.
Okay, well, we probably won't go there.
It's like it's a situation where you shouldn't get upset. Like you've said enough.
I feel like I'm talking to Happy Gilmore when he talks about all the violent things he's done.
Yeah, like you shouldn't get upset when you're going for an outright, but I came on to bowl in the second innings and one guy was just smacking me into the trees back there on the main ground here and I kicked the bales off the stumps at one stage. So,
Corey, I can't imagine that.
I think, was I playing that game?
Probably.
Yeah.
It was about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. I've matured a lot since then. You won't see that.
I hope so. Don't stand for that at Carrum.
No, not at all. Steve. It was an accident.
I actually can't remember if I played in one or not. Not a winning one anyway. I played in a couple of losing ones.
Yeah.
Probably played in the best game I've ever played in that we lost outright, defending 29 and had him 9 for 28.
Oh,
wow.
So that's probably the best game I've ever played in, but was that on we lost it.
Was that on a turf deck?
It was on a turf deck.
Hadn't been mowed in 3 weeks or something.
That was doing a little bit, and a bloke coming in bowling about 130Ks because he was angry.
That'd make it tough.
Yeah. Mm.
Dill, outright?
I have played in one here in the first 11. I believe it was against Red Hill.
Okay.
Possibly back in 2010. Josh Dent was the skipper. I remember that. I don't think I've played away, in a losing one.
Away game, yeah, yep. I was in that. Yeah, we did too.
Yep.
Jezza Graves, Daniel Graves running amok, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember Boozer, taking a few wickets.
Yeah, I was in that team. I'd forgotten about that. Mm. Well done.
Good memory. How many about you?
Yeah, that's why.
Here we go.
Oh, they're hard to get. In our glory days in the second 11, when we just won all the time, I reckon we went for about a dozen outrights across 4 or 5 years and hardly ever got them. They are so hard to get.
They are tough.
I was part of a famous Karen one in our first year in the MPCA, and we were cleaned up by Whelan. Don't even remember his first name. And he's the father of the Whelan that you're playing against.
Oh, really?
And he was playing for Sorrento then, and the older listeners, he would know, he was a gun bowler. He was quick, but he knew what he was doing with the ball. Mm. And he routed us for 35 and 34.
Ouch.
Playing against Sorrento. First year in the MPCA. Bully Kirky, Sean Austin. Well, we had a good team, but the Notmans, but not good enough for him. Mm. And in my early days, at Marysville, we were getting outrighted nearly every week, and we used to go to school. So I was only a young bloke playing in the seniors. We used to go to school and say that Marysville was the best club because we all got to bat twice on a day.
That's true. look at the positives.
That's it. That's good fun. Only bat for 2 minutes, but it's still
good. So good luck to the thirds chasing their outright on the weekend. Quickly with the fours, we won on forfeit last week, but the week before was a celebration of cricket. Zach Dent and Greg Foster both made hundreds. Our team ended up at 1 for 262.
Wow.
I think the partnership between Zach and Greg was 244, which I think might be a club record. We're just trying to establish that. Fantastic. And then they won that game by about 180 runs. So the 4 through 11 are actually going okay. Now, that's our local cricket. We'll skip juniors this week because Dylan Ridgway's not here. We'll follow up on that next week. Steve, we might run our international segment or our gossip segment. But before we do, Dylan's a guest.
Yep.
And he's missed out on our first segment. So your favourite ever international cricket moment and your favourite ever Karam cricket moment.
I think... and I've listened to the previous podcast as well.
You're one of the hundred.
Yes. I remember probably my favourite would be Shane Warne's 700th wicket. But I'm not going to say that. Instead, I'm going to say the Australian Test side in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I was too young to sort of comprehend how good they actually were.
Absolutely.
So I do like whenever they show the highlights, just sitting down and sort of seeing the difference, especially compared to today's team. So that would be my international.
Yeah. Well, as someone that's a bit older than you, I've always said how blessed we were to have that cricket team.
Mm.
McGrath and Warne especially. I mean, I think they're almost once-in-a-lifetime cricketers. And Gilly, I guess. Yeah.
And I kind of compare it as well. When Brad Hodge, possibly one of the greatest first-class cricketers in Australia, only plays, I think, five or six test matches for Australia with an average in first-class cricket of, mid-40s.
Yeah.
It certainly says a lot about this side, doesn't it?
He made 200 in a game and then was dropped 2 tests later.
Against South Africa as well.
Yeah, imagine that, eh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd reckon it'd buy a few credits, 200.
Yeah.
Bought him one test.
It was the same thing with the Karam moments. I was going to say Jackson Frye bowling quick at Boneyo and also Polly backing it up with 160 or whatever he made.
It's become a famous game, hasn't it?
I was going to say, I was keeping
that game, so I remember. it was quick. But I will say Dale O'Neill's 133 against Balnarring was impressive because he was middling everything. He opened the batting and straight away was just seeing it like a beach ball. And to sit on the sidelines and witness that, and Sean Foster at the other end as well, I think he made 98, couldn't quite get 100.
Yeah, but they were on something ridiculous at the start. The balls were flying everywhere.
That's my favourite Karam moment.
And we're back in Balnearing's back in our group now, so we might have to roll out Donnie into the ones when we come around to Balnearing. I think they'll remember. Yeah, I think we play them before Christmas. Good memories. Okay, Steve, we've got a new segment.
Rightio, our new segment. We're looking at the best Australian 11 of all time. Now, we've got to look at the ones that you've seen play, though. So we'll see different people, because we're all different ages here, so it'll be interesting to see what people think. Who wants to go first?
Not me. I'm just.
Oh, I'm happy I'm to go first.
Okay,
I'm happy to go first because, as I said off air, I kind of play around with this sort of thing in my mind all the time. But I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to go for the best old timer, so the history of Australian cricket. And if I have to refine it to people that I've seen, then I'll do that shortly. Opening the batting is Victor Trumper. Okay, so he's a cricketer from the 20s pretty much. Famous photo of him dancing down the wicket. And I said, no, I qualified that. And another bit of a one from left field. Oh, not really. Bill Ponsford. So he was he was around in Bradman's time. There's grandstand named after him at the G, so he must have been a pretty good player.
I've sat in that a bit.
He's made a 300. So they're my openers. Bradman has to bat at three, and I won't hear any of this rubbish about Bradman not being a good person. Bradman is the greatest Australian sportsman of all time. Four, the wonderful Ricky Ponting. Ponting pull shot, one of the best shots in the history of cricket. Number five, Alan Border. Alan Border would play for his life and get behind the ball, played against those West Indians fast bowlers and succeeded. Good on him. Another person that would bat for your life, I reckon, Steve Waugh, comes in at six. Adam Gilchrist, number seven, best wicketkeeper batsman of all time. Number eight, the leg spinner Shane Warne. I reckon in 10, 20, 30 years' time, we'll talk about Warne in the same breath as we talk about Bradman. I think I mentioned that on a previous show. Nine, I want a left-arm fast bowler. I used to like a guy called Alan Davidson. He was from the 60s, but he's been superseded by Mitch Johnson, especially if it's the good Mitch Johnson that's bowling heat and batting well. What am I up to? That's nine. And then the two fast bowlers are Glenn McGrath and Dennis Lilly. And just to throw a cat among the pigeons, this will make Dallas and Bully and people like that turn in their... they're not in their graves, but they make them wild.
Yeah, me.
Upset them. I rate McGrath ahead of Dennis Lilly, so that might be a conversation for another time. So that's my 11. I've spent a fair bit of time thinking about that over the years, so I had it ready to go.
That's fair. I don't have that many players. So what number are we going down to?
Normally we have 11.
Number 11, I think.
I'm up to nine.
Yeah, no, I've got about five or six. I thought we were just doing batsmen, so...
Go on, Dill. You go first then.
Okay. Well, you did say that you've seen play.
Yep, that I've seen play.
Completely changed up my order. But anyway, Warner, one. Hayden, Ponting. Now, I put Border in there, but I don't know if I actually saw him play. Steve Waugh, and I had Gilchrist, Warne, Lee, McGrath, and I'm missing two players. So I need another batsman and a bowler.
Okay, Shane Watson, maybe?
So you only had... You went to Gilly.
Five batters, the keeper, three bowlers. So I still need a bowler and a batsman. Yeah. I need to think about that, though.
Mark Waugh?
There you go.
Oi.
No, I'm just throwing
that's
names
good.
Out there.
That's good.
Don't know about him.
Okay, I'm going to predict Corey's team.
Got to have.
Hang on,
it's got to have Watto in
it's
it.
It's going to be number one, Shane Watson. Number two, Watto. Number three, S.R. Watson.
There's a couple of Wattos in there.
Number
Steve
five,
can go first.
S. Watson.
Steve can go first. I'm just fine-tuning my bowlers now.
Mr. Watson.
Okay, my team. As my openers, I have Matthew Hayden and Michael Slater. Michael Slater was my favourite cricketer as a kid.
I loved him.
Kind of changed the way that people looked at opening the batting a little bit. He kind of went hard at the ball instead of just poking around and...
Yeah.
Taking his time. Number three, Ponting, as Reggie said, best pull shot I think we've seen in international cricket. AB at number four, then I would put Michael Clark in there at the moment. I think he was a very good bat.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't get given the credit as he probably could.
Yeah, I agree.
Steve Waugh at number six, I don't know, he's still one of the better players we've seen didn't look all that good, but all the time, but managed to get it done. My keeper, Adam Kilchrist, so devastating with the bat and very, very good with the gloves, and got better as he got older. Then Shane Warne, who can go against Shane Warne? Shane Warne's probably the best spinner that's played the game. So at number 8, number 9, my top 3 bowlers. So McGrath would have to be 11, but he'd be the best bowler I've seen.
Yeah, that's the better 11 though, yeah.
Couldn't bat at all.
Yeah.
I liked Gillespie.
Yeah.
He was an interesting bowler. Did like him though. He was a very, very good player.
Yeah, he was good. He was a good player, but then the Poms just got a hold of him in that last series he played in England. So, but he was a good player for sure.
And I'm going to put Damien Fleming
because
he's really the last person we've seen that swings the ball around.
The king of swing.
And that's something we need, the Aussies need at the moment, someone that can swing the ball around a little bit.
The bowlologist.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I follow him on the internet. He's a clever man.
Funny man.
And that would be my 11.
Very good.
All right. Have you had a turn yet or not?
I'm ready to go now.
You can only have one Shane Watson though.
Can't have Shane Watson, the batsman and the bowler. All right. So my team, I got Matthew Hayden opening the batting. Michael Slater, like Steve. I loved Slats when I was a little kid. He was a gun. Ricky Ponting at number 3. For obvious reasons. Everyone else, I think, has gone Ponting so far.
I had Bradman at 3. Ponting at 4.
One of my previous favourites before Watto came around, Mark Waugh at number 4. His brother at number 5. Then one of my personal favourites because I had his bat as a kid. Everyone else, he's a bit of a Shane Watson, really. I think he was a Shane Watson before Shane Watson came around. Damien Martin is in at number 6, which will raise a few eyebrows, but I've thrown him in there.
Beautiful player to watch.
He's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player. Gilly's in number 7 as my keeper. Shane Warne and Mitch Johnson can fight over 8 and 9 in the batting order. Brett Lee at number 10. Glenn McGrath at number 11. And my 12th man is Shane Watson.
Oh, no.
He's carrying the drinks.
Because he's a good fielder?
Good bloke.
Good bloke.
He can fill in for a batsman or a bowler. Either way, you got cover.
I thought we could have Scott Muller as 12th man, the can't catch, can't throw, can't throw, can't bowl guy.
Could have him.
Nominated by Joe the cameraman.
Could have Bryce McGain in there, played the one test and got smashed out everywhere.
No, poor old Bryce.
No, that's my team. It's very, very hard not to put Watto in there, really, but not have to do it.
So there it is, Steve.
There you go, some interesting players in there.
What are we doing next week?
Let's do the international. Why not?
Yeah, world team.
Okay.
Can I just raise a question? I was thinking about this a bit today. Is the time for a specialist keeper over? Is it time that we, you know, to me, Peter Neville is a specialist wicket keeper.
Yeah.
Is it time that we say maybe, okay, let's find a batsman that can wicket keep? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I reckon do it, but you probably don't like that, do you?
Sorry, can I?
I'm interested.
I'll tell you what it is time for. It's time for us to talk about the test team. So we'll do that.
Okay,
now,
sorry. Go for it.
Good segue, Neville.
Yeah, segging.
Oh, look, it's funny because we've talked about the test team over the last few shows, and when they selected this team, I actually thought, well, that's the best team that they can select. Mm. But they're just not performing, so I don't think it's a matter of selection. I think it's a matter of performance, and possibly some people have had their turns. Now, to your question, is the difference between Neville and Wade as glovemen, is it very big? You know, but how do you measure that? Does that mean that Matthew Wade's going to drop one extra catch every 3 test matches or 2 extra buys, or he's not going to look as pretty?
I'm actually comparing it to Hanscom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you would play a batter who's only a little bit of a wicketkeeper.
Well, he keeps Victoria, so he's, you know,
he's decent.
Is he keeping this game? Or is he playing as a bat?
No, well, Wade's
in there.
Yeah. Wade's in there, so I would assume. Yeah. Well, Wade's obviously a better keeper than him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be the other way around. But if he wicket keeps where he stays, he's obviously quite decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer your question in a roundabout way. I reckon that what the selectors need to do, because Victoria is giving a New South Wales an absolute pasting at the moment.
Yep.
I think we're going to see continental shift. I think we're going to start picking Victorians now instead of New South Welshmen.
Cool.
That includes Wade, Hanscom and Dean as a smoky for opening.
Oh,
I think there's got to be this shift that the good players don't have to come from New South Wales. Victoria's been the most successful team for probably a decade across cricket.
On the last two Sheffield Shields. Yeah,
and
as well.
we need to start recognising it. So all of our 200 listeners, let's get behind the Vicos.
Yep, get around them.
So I'd go Wade instead of Neville now.
Yeah, so would I. So would I. I think Wade's ability to score more runs outweighs the fact that he might not be quite as neat with the gloves.
Mm.
I think he puts that left-handed doggedness in the middle order there as well.
Yeah.
Plus someone that can fight as well.
Well, he has different gears too, you know. He can defend and he can attack. It just seems that Peter Neville's a bit one-paced as a batter.
Yeah, and I think Matthew Wade in the field is a good leader as well, probably has a bit to say. He'd be good sort of culturally apparently for the team as well.
Apparently has a lot to say.
Yes, I think he's quite good on the
so banter. We've heard what Ridgie wants in.
Yeah, well, that's out there. I mean, the bowlers can probably stay the same. So
yeah, keep many.
Okay, let's.
Who else can we bring
he's
in?
He's only had one test match.
Yeah, I know.
I think the selectors many. Almost put themselves in a bad position there, saying that that's the 12 we've got to put in there. Don't you think
after the first test,
Jackson Bird probably would have been a better. Yeah. Option down at his home ground.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not. Down there? I wasn't too fazed about that. I am now because they didn't perform. I think I'm up to about 13 players now. But the other one that deserves consideration to me is Cameron White.
Yes, thank you.
Even though he's older, I just think he's been. I think he's been treated really harshly by Cricket Australia because they tried to turn him into this bashing, fast-scoring one-day cricketer, which wasn't necessarily what he wanted to be.
Yeah.
He wanted to be regarded as a top six batsman in Australia. So I'm a big fan of the Big Bear. I'd love to see him get involved as well.
And he was the best player in the Matador Cup as well, so the one day. And he's carried that form into the Sheffield Shield. Yeah. Like, he's on track today of making possibly a ton.
Okay.
He's coming off a ton from the last game.
I haven't seen today's scores. So
I know they declared.
Oh, did you see what Hanscom made?
I heard Hanscom got big 100.
215.
Okay. Oh, doubly.
Awesome.
Doubly.
And, okay. So...
If Hanscom doesn't get picked this round,
everything's fallen in place.
Well, he looks he bats unorthodox. He does go across the line a fair bit, but to me, a bit of Dougie Walters in him. So
Cam White 75 not out.
Oh,
just throw it's quantum shift to me. Mm. You stop picking all these New South Welshmen and start picking lots of Vicks.
Yeah, they've already got Dave Warner and Steve Smith out as well at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
I mean they're flogging them.
Yeah, giving them a good old smacking.
Good stuff, because.
Well, Joe Burns stays in for me to open the batting. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I also like Joe Burns, but I'd rather him bat at six. That means I've got him and Hanscom at six at the moment, but anyway.
Yeah, my wild card for opening the batting would be this Renshaw bloke, the real young kid. If you're going to get rid of someone and throw someone in, that would be my real wild card. I don't think they'll do it, but that's one that could take Joe Burns' spot and then just bat him with Warner. They'd probably complement each other a bit.
I like the idea of putting Dean in there. He had a good year last year, and now that he's got a big 100.
He had a big gap between runs, though.
He did, but he's young. He seems to be able to cope with that step up. Mm. Last year when he stepped up into the Vic's side, he made two 200s on the trot, so he can make that step at someone young, and I reckon that would be the way to go.
Other option is you could push Usman Khawaja up into opening with Dave Warner.
Mm. Yeah, he's just starting to make a go at number three, though, Uzi, isn't he?
Yeah.
He looks like your classic number three.
So I think realistically they're looking at Hanscom and possibly Wade to take the keeping spot.
Yeah.
Do you think any other spots would be up for grabs? What about Voges? It depends on his health.
I think Voges is gone.
Yeah,
I do too.
I think you'll see at least two changes in the batting order.
I reckon they'll give Callum Ferguson another go.
Yeah.
Pretty hard to drop him after just one hit. And I think he's going to his home test this game?
The night game.
Yeah, it's at Adelaide.
Yeah. Yeah. So Twilight. You probably give him another go, and if he fails there, then you say, see you later, bud.
Yeah.
I agree, Voges has probably had his day. When you start to lose your pull shot, when it's one of your favourite shots, you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, it just looked like a rabbit in the headlights in this game, unfortunately, which is sad. Reflexes may have gone. When's that team announced, do we know?
Not sure.
Okay, well,
couldn't be long.
We've certainly
Sunday
sowed some seeds there, and we'll see how the team turns out. Where are we up to? What's happening around the club committee socially?
So we've got our main function on not this coming Saturday, the following one. So we got Yobbo Lotto. Tickets are available. So your committee member for the tickets, $20 per person, includes some pizzas on the night. There'll also be a raffle prize given away. It's going to be a pretty good one. And what else we got happening, Dill?
Have we learned anything more about what Yobbo Lotto actually is?
Yeah, it's Lotto. Lotto. For Yobbo.
It's...
thanks, science.
They'll
stuff.
Have games on the night, I think.
And there's some, bingo in
it's
there.
It's obviously bingo. Yes. Yeah, like air guitar competitions, things like that. Bogany. Yeah.
Dress up as you're in Yobbo.
Dress sure up will be a good part of it, I'm sure.
It's going to be a great night because none of us really know what to expect.
Just come as a bogan and have some fun, basically. It'll be a good night. We'll have everyone here. It'll be
going to be a ripper.
Yep.
Steve, what else is going on?
We'll have our first Super Saturday coming up pretty soon. I can't tell you exact. Is that this weekend or next week? No, it can't be this weekend.
No, it's not this weekend.
It'll be in a couple of weeks as well. So we're hoping for lots of juniors and parents to come up with the seniors and have a bit of fun around the place.
We might confirm that next radio show.
Yep, that sounds good.
Yep.
Aside from that,
there's a Christmas raffle going on at the moment, so any donations for the hampers would be greatly appreciated. That's the word I was looking for.
I've got a bat signed by Shane Watson that I'm happy to give away.
Oh, give away. Corey. Let me just go get my checkbook.
Corey might be frolicking around in the rooms there.
So that's all of our regular segments. So shout outs and we're done. Dill?
Shout out to Marcus, the heart and soul of Karam Radio. He does a great job. Thanks for being down here again.
The king of radio, Karam. Steve?
Shout out to our sponsors. Ocean Blue is the round sponsor. Freddy's is our major sponsor. Levy Electrical. Now I'm struggling to think of all of them.
Mitchell Toro Real Estate.
Turn around and bring
Sonia Banner. Sonia Kilkenny, Long Beach Trees, J&J Brick Paving, the Sports Club and Centre for Men.
So we've got a lot of sponsors. Thank you very much, guys.
If you need a suit, make sure you go to centre4men.com.au. That'll come and measure you up. On my shout-outs? I'll give a shout-out to the youngest foster boy, Jazza. He just got offered a job for next year. So
wow.
He's
nice
pretty
work,
happy.
Jazz.
He's
joining
pretty happy.
Joining the teaching fraternity.
He is. So
government system or private?
I haven't got the full details, he's pretty happy. He said he's been offered a job, so I'd imagine he's going to take that. So we'll get some more info on that one.
Welcome to the noble profession, greatest profession in the world.
That's it. My other shout-out, I'll give a shout-out to the old man for getting 100 the other week in the fours. I thought he was pretty much done and Mum was waiting for him to retire, but now he's got 100, so I think he's got another 5 years up his sleeve now.
I think he wants to play for more than that. He wants to bat with his grandson by the sound of it.
Yeah, no, he wants to bat with Jack in the fours, apparently.
And he's in the fours again tomorrow and they're playing at Portsea.
They are, yeah.
One of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yeah, awesome. Bit of a drive, but
bit of a drive.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still finalising that team. I'll be on the internet in a minute. My shout-outs. One of our 100 listeners is actually a good mate of mine, Jonah, who is a cricket tragic, and he's been travelling Australia in his caravan. So he's listened to us from all sorts of Backaburk places. To Jonah, Annie and son Spencer, fantastic that we've got you listening to us. And to my family, especially my beautiful mum. I'm thinking of you all the time, Mum. That's a wrap. Thank you for listening. Share the podcast. Let's try and get up to 200 listeners before Christmas.
Jeez, we're really pushing now.
Karam Cricket Club, Radio Karam Cricket Club Radio Show. Go Lions.
Go Lions.